Welcome to Pain, Passion, and Purpose. I am your host, Shaquita Torres, where I share mental health education, biblical teachings, and tips to help you to heal on purpose so you can walk boldly in your God-given purpose. This podcast is sponsored by Empowered Purpose Academy, a certified online Christian academy where we provide services such as certification for Christian life coaches, mentorship for master's level aspiring and existing Christian therapists, mentorship for Christians, and continued education courses for the body of Christ. You can visit www.empoweredpurposeacademy.com to learn more and to download your free guide. If you like today's episode, please subscribe and leave us a raving review so that others can tap into the knowledge and wisdom that will be shared on this podcast. Thank you so much for being here. There we go. I'm live on YouTube. I'm live on Facebook, my business page, and my page for Empowered Purpose Academy. And I'm also live up here on Instagram. Welcome, everyone. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thank you all so much for being here. If you can stay on, perfect. If not, come back and watch the replay. I do have a word from the Lord. It's going to be warning slash encouragement for many people. Many people who do follow me, I feel like, are looking more so for encouragement more than anything. But anywho, I would give Instagram a moment or two to let everybody know that I'm on. Hello, God Ministries. Hello, The Healing Coach. Yes, ma'am. To the prophesy. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you all so much for being here. I'm going to try my best to not rush, but at the same time, I want to get straight to the point. It's a three-part message, you guys. God just be giving me so much. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, this is a lot. And he said, hey, get my word. Give it to him. So here I am, being obedient, okay? So before I begin, I want to go ahead and say a quick prayer, and we'll go ahead and get into the prophetic update, all right? So Holy Spirit, I just thank you right now, God, for just who you are in my life and who you are in our lives, Father. Holy Spirit, I ask you, God, to have your way for me to speak exactly what you have given me to speak. God, I yield my voice, my gifts, my everything that I have to you, God, to be used for the edification of the body of Christ. Father, I pray, God, that for those who have the ear to hear, let them hear. And I pray, God, that you would just allow me, Lord God, to speak life into your people and to give them encouragement as well. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right, let's get into this word, you guys. And so, as you can see by the title, it is called Time Is Up. Time is up, okay? And so, I wanted to add more to the title, but I said, no, I'll leave it the way it is and just, you know, come on live. I knew God had some more to give me, and he does. And so, as always, I have a story as to how God gave me prophetic words, you guys. There's always a story behind it. And it leads up to, you know, me getting ready to share it, right? Wherever God has me to share. So almost a week ago, I had a dream that I looked down at my Apple Watch and it was shattered. Okay, so I have an Apple Watch, you guys, I wear it every day. And in my dream, the whole screen was just shattered. Okay, so I knew that it was prophetic, but I didn't know what it meant at that moment. And I said, well, God, you know, what does this mean? Because it was so clear in my dream and my watch was like right in my face. And remember telling my husband, I said, hey, babe, in my dream, and I'm like, babe, look, my Apple Watch shattered. I don't know why it shattered, right? So I had been praying and asking God about it, but he hadn't answered me yet. So I knew that in time he would give it to me and that in time, you know, he'll speak whenever he got ready. And my God, did he speak? Okay. He spoke. Okay. So this past Sunday, October 1st, I was in the bathroom. I'm getting ready for bed. And I was like taking off my makeup, you know, brushing my teeth, right? Listening to to a sermon on YouTube. And you guys immediately, the Lord began to speak to me and said, your watch meant that time is up. The time is up. Oh my God, what do you mean? What do you mean? Right? And so he said, back in, let me see, September 21st, I believe, almost 2 weeks ago, the Lord had me release a word, giving people warnings about what's to come, about the exposure in the body of Christ, the exposure, you know, on political, you know, political arena, Hollywood, and so much. It was a long word. It was a long word, y'all. So long. And the Lord began to tell me the time has run out. And as he was saying it, like, his spirit just kept hitting me. I said, oh my God, so I began to write it down. So he gave me some more to share, but I wanted to go back and make sure that I study the word, okay? And so here's a quick summary of the word that I shared September 21st. So Luke 8 and 17 says this, for nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Okay. Luke 12 and 2:23 says this, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. Okay. So that was God's warning, saying that he's getting ready to reveal some things to the world and in all the seven mountains. Okay. You want to know what it is? Make sure you go to YouTube. You can look it up. Okay. There's the entertainment mountain, the government mountain. You know, Hollywood's a part of entertainment, businesses, the body of Christ, and so much more. So much more. Okay. Then the Lord began to tell me, he said, I also shared too in that word that the Lord said that he was going to use whistleblowers to expose the darkness, okay, in every single area. And as he was telling me that again, I began to hear like a train going choo choo. I'm like, oh my God, like God ain't playing around, y'all. Like this word does not make me happy at all whatsoever. It's actually very sad because God has been trying to get our attention for so long. He has been trying to get us to get back on track with him and to be in tune with him. He's not asking us for perfection, but he's asking us to surrender our hearts to him and he'll do the rest, okay? And so then he reminded me of a conversation that I had with my best friend, which was about around the same time that I gave this word. I was sharing the word with her. And she told me the Lord told her that they were going to experience a righteous fall, meaning in the body of Christ. Okay. And also it could be in the other mountains too. Okay. God didn't tell me that part. So let me explain what this means. Okay. I have never heard of a righteous fall before, ever. Okay. Of course, we hear people fall, they stumble, especially in the body of Christ. They fall from, you know, away from God's grace and so much more because they won't listen because of pride, because of ambition, because of sexual immorality, lying, and so much more. Right. And so I said, Lord, okay, what do you want me to share in reference to that? Because he told me to share that today. Then he took me to the story of King David, y'all. King David, and my God, if he did not speak today and break some stuff down for me, oh my God, it's so powerful. It's so powerful. And so, as you know, you guys, God loved King David, and King David loved the Lord. Like, I admire David, because David, you know, he was a man after God's own heart, right? But David did experience what we call a righteous fall, okay? He experienced a righteous fall because he stole Uriah's wife, okay? So today I'm going to read through the story just a little bit. I'm not going to read the whole entire thing, but I'm reading it because in between scripture, God was like speaking to me about how it applies to us today and how it applies to this word today and what we should keep our eye on and be able to see whenever he exposes these things that are coming in the world, okay? So 2 Samuel chapter 11, okay, it begins by saying that, you know, David, he saw Bathsheba taking a bath on the rooftop, and immediately he became attracted to her. And so he set up this long plot and this long plan to, you know, pretty much, it wasn't that long. He actually went and retrieved her, okay? He had someone go retrieve her, brought her back, and slept with her, and she got pregnant, okay? So she told David that she was pregnant, right? She sent a servant to tell David that. And so David had to like come up with a plan to try to make it look like that her own husband, Uriah, had impregnated her, okay? So this is where it gets very meaty for me. And when I say meaty, I mean what God was sharing with me about what's going on today, okay? And so David went to the extreme to try to cover up what he had done wrong. Instead of him repenting, going before God, getting that thing right, you guys, he kept trying to make sure that things did not expose him. Okay. All right. Exposure. Okay. And what's so sad too is that Uriah honored David. Uriah has so much respect for David, and he served from a place of integrity and a place of love and sincerity. He really did. Okay. So whenever Uriah came back from, you know, battle, he had told him, hey, Uriah, go home, spend time with your wife, you know, spend time with your family. But Uriah didn't. He said, how can I go back and spend time with my wife if, you know, my leader and my people are in battle or being compromised, right? He didn't want to abandon them. He wanted to be right there in order to continue to fight in case something happened to them, okay, so, to him, right? So he stayed. So when David found out that Uriah didn't go home that night, he became very upset. And so he, y'all, it was so extreme. So then he had Uriah come back to his house, and he ate with Uriah. He fed him and everything, right? And he got him drunk, okay? So then he had Uriah to try to go send him back home again. Uriah didn't go home, y'all. Uriah still stayed with his camp, with his tenants, right? His people, in order to be with them in case battle broke out, okay? And so again, David was upset because Uriah, he was so faithful. He was so full of integrity that he did not leave his campsite, okay? So then David had another plan. He had Joab take, you know, Uriah back to battle on the front line. And so he told him, hey, whenever, you know, the men come to fight you guys, put him there and like leave him there so he'll die. And guess what? Uriah died. And so as I'm reading this here, God is showing me, he said, this is what's happening right now in the body of Christ. He said, so many of my leaders are doing this to my people, right? We have sheep and we have people who are under leaders who have been faithful, who love God, who love their leader, but their leader has taken advantage of the situation. They have taken advantage of their loyalty to them, okay? And my God, I was reading, I said, God, this is so, so true. And I've actually been through it myself, for sure, for sure. My God. And so Uriah died, and after that, Bathsheba mourned for Uriah, and David married her, okay? So she bore a child, and I forgot what the name, the child's name was, to be honest, was it in the Bible? And so what David did was considered to be evil, okay? And so what I'm seeing here and reading this story is so much pride, so much lust, so much ambition, so much power, right, that David was operating in order to cover up what he did. And so what's happening is in the body of Christ, I know people for a fact who have been through this too, who are healing even now from church hurt, where they were in, you know, a ministry and they threatened them. They made them feel bad. They made them feel like, you know, oh, if you, you know, go and blow the whistle, nobody will believe you, right? And so that caused them to have a spirit of fear. That caused them to have a spirit of, okay, you know, of hurt and pain and frustrations, right? And some of them have turned their back on God, right? They have led God's sheep astray by hurting them, by abusing their power, okay? And again, David is a man after God's own heart, right? But he had a righteous fall, okay? So 2 Samuel verse chapter 12 says this, right? So then the Lord sent Nathan to David. Oh my God. Nathan began to speak to David in a parable explaining what David had done, but David didn't know the story was about him. So David was like, oh man, that's messed up. If you know, that person deserves to die because that was so evil. And so if you look at verse 7 through 15, it says here, then Nathan said to David, you are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel says. Okay, so here's the word that, you know, God was given to David through Nathan for what he had done. My God, this is the same word for those who are going to experience a righteous fall. My God, it's so sad. And many of them don't even know that they're going to have a righteous fall because of pride, because they refuse to actually see, like they're like deceived. Okay. They are deceived. Okay. And so here's what God said to David through Nathan. He said, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what was evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword would never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. My God. Verse 11, out of your own household, I'm going to bring calamity onto you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. My God, Lord have mercy. But then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. So David finally confessed pretty much to what he had done. So then he said to David, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But because by doing this, you have shown utter contempt for the Lord, the son born to you will die. So he was saying that, you know, the son that him and Bathsheba had together was going to die. Okay, verse 15. After Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had born to David, and he became ill. So David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and spent nights lying in sackcloth on the ground. The elders of the household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused and he would not eat any food with them. My God. So for days and for nights, David fasted and he pleaded with God. He was repenting. He was crying out to him. He was remorseful for what he did. Okay. So this is where he experienced a righteous fall, meaning that God was going to lift him back up. Okay. So verse 18 says this, on the seventh day, the child died. David's attendants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought while the child was still living, he wouldn't listen to us when we spoke to him. How can we now tell him the child is dead? He may do something desperate. Okay. Here's my place. My God. So as you guys can see, for those of you who are just getting on, we're talking about King David and how God allowed him to have what we call a righteous fall. Okay. So verse 19 says this. So David noticed that his attendants were whispering among themselves, and he realized that the child was dead. Okay. So here's the part that I love that David did. And this is why God, God saved David pretty much. So then David got up from the ground after he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and he worshiped him. So he knew that God was going to take his son, though he begged him, he fasted, but God took his son anyway, right? But he went and he worshiped before the Lord. He worshiped before God and he repented and God forgave him, okay? And so later, Bathsheba got pregnant, and initially they were going to name the baby Solomon, which meant peace, but the Lord named him Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord. This right here was a sign that God had not removed his love from David. And so whenever we get ready to see this righteous fall across, really honestly, across all spectrums, right? In government, the body of Christ, right? Entertainment, Hollywood, all the above, you know, God's still going to give them a chance to repent. But here's the thing. Now you're going to be embarrassed. God does not desire to embarrass his children. He don't desire for us to stumble publicly. He tries his best to deal with our heart privately and deal with our stuff privately. But like David kept going. He kept like plotting against Uriah. He kept plotting and plotting and plotting and plotting and plotting. Okay. And God does raise a standard, especially when it affects his sheep. Uriah was a servant. Uriah was a sheep under David ultimately. Okay. My God. Whew. Mm-mm-mm. And so that's part actually two of the word. And so part three. All right. So as I was reading the story about David and how God restored him, not only that, David also won a battle. He was sleeping with a crown. Like God still favored David, and David still won many battles. And David was, and God restored him. Right. And so moving on to the next part of that scripture, which is in 2 Samuel chapter 12, like verse 21, 22. And I was reading it, and it went into another story about David and his son named Amon. And so Amon was David's son, and Amon had a crush on his sister Tamar. Okay. So he was so in lust with her that he actually ended up hating her, right? And so the Bible I use primarily now, I have several Bibles, you guys. I have so many Bibles, okay? So I have the Tony Evans Bible now, which I love this Bible. It's a study Bible. I have the KJV Bible, a study Bible. I also have Joyce Meyer's Bible. So I have a lot of Bibles, y'all, a lot. But in this Bible from Tony Evans, the commentary, it talks about how, you know, Amon had pretty much like received a generational curse from what David had did. My God. And so as I was reading that, I felt the Holy Spirit kind of like fall on me, right? But I said, I got to get the bathroom. I need to go ahead and get dressed because I got to go live in a little bit. And so while I was getting ready, I heard the Holy Spirit say, yes. He was like, what happens is people don't remember, don't understand that what we do affects generations to come. What we don't do affects generations to come, whether it's cursings or blessings. Okay. And let me explain. And so again, as you can see, you know, David, you know, what he did with against Uriah and took Bathsheba, you know, that same spirit he had with that, his son Amon had inherited the same thing. Sorry, you guys, phone was ringing. Had inherited the same thing, okay? So the Lord told me, said, in order to drive this home for them, I want you to share your own personal testimony about this. And he reminded me of my great aunt and what she had done to me and my siblings and also past generations, okay? So now I'm going into my testimony to share with you all a little bit about my story and my background, okay? So some of you guys may know, some of you guys may not know this, but my mom died in a tragic house fire when I was 11 years old. But prior to that, my mom had like given me to my great aunt, which is my mom's aunt, because it was so much going on in the home. It's a whole long story all by itself. Okay. And you guys, my aunt was evil. Okay. She was mean. Okay. So initially it was just me that lived with her. Okay. She treated me horribly, by the way. And so then after my mom died, when I was 11 years old, I had three other siblings. They too came to live with me as well, and my aunt. So she had all four of my mom's children. My mom was a single mother of four. She died in a tragic house fire. Thank God she's with the Lord. She got saved on a Sunday. She got saved on a Sunday and she died on a Wednesday. Okay. So long story short. So then, you know, and living with her, you guys, she treated us horribly. Okay. Well, come to find out, my aunt also treated, you know, my mom's siblings wrong too. Like, she treated the whole generation like crap. Okay. She stole money from them. She put her mouth on them. She was also mean also to her own siblings too. So my grandmother, you know, my I guess like her siblings too, she was just known to be this very despiteful, evil woman, okay? And I'm like, how in the world would my family allow us to go live with her knowing that she's this evil? When I say evil, I mean taking our check that we got, right? Spending it on her own grandchildren, on her own daughter, right? We weren't getting the food we needed, the care we needed, and so much more. Y'all, it was bad. It was bad, okay? And so the Lord was telling me that what she was doing affected so many generations before her, okay? And so when I was around 19, by this time I'm not living with her anymore. I had moved out. I was like 15 years old. I couldn't take it no more. I was like, God, please, like, take me out from this house. I'm going to die here, okay? I'm going to die mentally, physically, all that, okay? So long story short, some years went by and my great aunt ended up being in the nursing home, y'all. And oh my goodness, when I say the wrath of God hit her, y'all, she couldn't talk. Her hair was coming out her head. She couldn't hardly eat anything. Her body was like shriveling up like a little baby to the point where she was like in a ball. Like, it was horrible, y'all. So I'm gonna tell you what God did, okay? So long story short, my aunt, which is my spiritual mom and also my uncle's wife, by the way, she had took me and my siblings to go see her in the nursing home. Okay. I wanted to go. I was fine with going. At this point, I had forgiven her. I'm not mad with her. God has healed me, y'all, from so much. Like, he's giving me beautiful. Yeah, it's just a lot. It's just, my story is a lot. My life is a lot in the past. Okay, it's a lot. So long story short, I went to the nursing home, and when I saw her, like, she was, like, moaning. She was like, I mean, she couldn't, like, talk. She was, like, trying to talk to me, but she couldn't. So I was 19 years old. She saw me. She kept, like, touching my face. Like, she was, like, touching my hand, kind of hugging me. And I hugged her back, and I you know, I love on her. I said, you know, I said, I forgive you. I said, I forgive you for what you done. And y'all, she broke down like a baby and she just cried. I mean, she cried so much and so loud to the point where we had to leave, okay? Because she was just like distraught. And so what God was showing me this morning and that, and I knew this before, he was like, because of what she did, I allowed her to die a slow death, okay? She has spent decades mistreating family members and other people. She was a thief. She was a thief. And, you know, she treated her children with, like, all this love and respect. So anyway, she ended up dying, right? But her daughter and her grandchildren are still living. And you guys, they are not doing good at all. They are doing horribly. And it's sad. Like, it breaks my heart to see it, because I honestly don't wish anything bad on anybody, because I know what God's wrath looked like, okay? And so from that, right, her daughter ended up being homeless. Her grandchildren end up having all these children out of wedlock and just so much more, y'all. Like, they were suffering, right? So I haven't seen them in years, but the last time I seen her daughter, who's like grown, older than me, and by the way, she was mean to us too, to me and my siblings, right? And she cannot face me. Like, when I see her, it's like she gets nervous, she gets uncomfortable, and she like try to go the other way. I try to, like, you know, communicate with her and show her love, but it's just too much for her. It's just too much, because she thought that the way I turned out today might have been the opposite of what she thought, right? So long story short, you know, I'm sharing that story because I want people to understand, God wants y'all to understand that, you know, what we do now, it affects our bloodline. It affects our children and our children's children, right? So you can have generational curses or generational blessings, okay? So I know for a fact my children are going to inherit generational blessings, okay? Any curse that has been on my life, whatever, has been broken off of me, okay? I had to go through my own journey of healing and whatnot, but my children are doing wonderful. They are blessed. They are healthy mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And so because of my stance, because of my journey, because I took a righteous stand, God's going to bless them for the things that I'm doing now. Okay. And so please keep it in mind. So for those who are going to experience a righteous fall, I pray that you, like, you know, repent and give it over to the Lord. And you also pray over your bloodline. Because as you can see, Amon, he ended up raping Tamar. He ended up, like, doing horrible things to her, and he lied on her, right? Which caused shame to her and shame to the family. And David turned a blind eye to it. He did not want to acknowledge the fact that his son was a rapist. Pretty much, okay? Whoo, y'all. And so as you guys, even now, God is showing me that whenever we have, like, generational curses, right, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse from generation to generation, because David didn't rape Uriah. I mean, rape Bathsheba, you know? Now, I don't know what David did. I don't know all he did back then, but based on this story here, David did not rape Bathsheba, okay? But Amon raped his sister. So that generational curse, it became worse and worse over time. My God. And so, so if you go look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, you can read about blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. It's long, so I'm not going to read it. It's extremely long, but I have read it before, but go back and read it whenever you get a chance, okay? And so that's all I have for you guys today. I did want to share one more thing, and then I want to pray this out, and I'll be done, y'all. I'll be done. But yeah, the Lord, all I know that the Lord is just, he's giving us time, y'all, so much time. So here's my newest book that just came out here called Holy Spirit-Led Counseling, Unleashing Your Impact as a Christian Therapist. It is definitely, it's published now. And so you can purchase it now. It's in my profile. It's on Instagram. It's on Facebook. If you go to the photo section, you'll be able to see it there. So this book is amazing, you guys. Like, the Holy Spirit definitely led me as I wrote this book. It's good. So for those of you who already ordered the book, it will be sent to you in about two to three weeks. Okay. So this book right here is the first draft. Okay. So I had to get the book edited and everything, resend it, get it republished. Right. And, you can also purchase it in my profile. So yes, you guys, yes, that's all I have for today. My God, y'all. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and go into prayer. Before I do, look at you guys' comments on Instagram. All right, no more comments over here. Let's look over here. Facebook. Yeah, it's okay. You can come back and look at the replay, sis. Thank you so much for hopping on. All righty. Okay. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for your word today, God. I pray, God, that those who have an ear to hear, let them hear. Holy Spirit, I ask you, God, to just help us, God, to continue to stand, God, to stand on your word, God, to walk in holy boldness, Lord God, to surrender our hearts and our minds to you, Father. I pray, God, for those who may be going through in their mind, in their body, who have anxiety, who have fear, God, about what's to come and what's ahead, Father. God, help them, guys, ground their mind, ground their hearts. God, I pray, God, that they will seek you, God, in this hour like never before. That, God, we are praying and interceding, God, like never before. Father, help us, oh Lord God, to have eyes to see and ears to hear in the spirit, God. Help us, God, not to be deceived by the enemy tactics, oh God. Help us, God, to seek you out about everything, about who we follow, about what we do, about who we listen to, God. So, God, we will not be deceived, God, by wolves in sheep's clothing. Father, I pray, God, for the body of Christ, God, for those who are in leadership, for those who are on the wall, who are fighting, who are praying, who are interceding, God. Father, continue to give them strength and stamina, God, and endurance to continue to run this race. Father, I pray, God, for those, God, who will be exposed. I pray, God, that God, they too will fall and repent like David did, that God, they will worship you, that God, they will come to you, God, with their whole hearts to get it right, and that, God, you will restore them. And so, God, I just thank you for your word today. I thank you, God, for who you are in our lives. I just name my prayer. Amen and amen. Amen. So I will see you guys next week. Okay. Yeah, that's right. God, man, you're so right for sure. And what you're saying here about the generational unclean spirit. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. She definitely was. Definitely was. All right. So I'm going to end, and I will see you guys on next week. Lord willing. All right. Bye-bye. All righty. So I'm going, you guys, over here on Facebook. The replay will be up on YouTube. It'll be up there as well. And I will see you guys next time. Thank you so much for being here today. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with your family and your friends. And please stay tuned for more content. If you would like, also, you can download my free ebook at www.shaquitatorres.com and stay in contact with me to learn about new courses, new workshops, and new content that I'll be coming out in the future. Thanks again. Talk to you soon.